The Old Testament reading for this, the second Sunday after Christmas, comes from the first book of Kings, the third chapter. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that no one like you has seen, has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Family, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they rightly receive a lot of attention this time of year. You see them on Christmas cards, in nativity displays, and church bulletins. They're all usually portrayed as serene, watchful, peaceful. Oftentimes, all three of them will have halos on their heads, giving us the idea that this is the perfect family. But we forget that Mary and Joseph, despite their importance in the life of our Savior, were indeed human and were not perfect. We read about the doubts that they had both at Jesus' birth and all throughout his ministry. We know that they were sinners and made mistakes just like us. And today we read about just such a mistake and imperfection. As devout and God-fearing people, Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. They went to offer sacrifice and to give thanks to God at the temple. And it would appear that they went with a large group of family and friends, all traveling together for safety, for fellowship, and to catch up with one another. The adults would talk about adult things like how work was going, what the harvest would be like, and who was sick or dying. And those things were just as boring to children back then as they are to children today. So the kids would head off to do their own thing, to run around, check out some flowers and mud puddles along the road, and earnestly debate which of them looks most like a donkey. And Jesus, being fully human and 12 years old, probably took part, except for when the donkey jokes turned sinful. And so for the whole trip to Jerusalem, up and back each year, the kids would run around amongst all the families and friends all day, checking in from time to time, coming back for supper and bed. And there was no problem with that. Until this year, that is. This year, after they went to the temple, they all gathered up their things, packed and loaded everything, and headed back to Nazareth. Everything seemed just as it had been every other year. Chatting and walking, walking and chatting, kids popping in and out of their field of vision. But Jesus, this year, without letting his earthly family know it, stayed behind at the temple to learn and to teach the priests and the teachers. So for an entire day, Mary and Joseph and everyone else in their whole entourage traveled on. They were probably focused on their friends, on their plans for the week, on any of the troubles and worries that awaited them when they got back home. They really didn't even give Jesus a second thought. Of course he's with us. Why wouldn't he be? Now, parents, you know the feeling of realizing you're not sure where one of your children is. In a group like that, you start to just kind of wonder, I haven't seen him for a little while. I wonder where he's gone off to. And then you start to ask around a little bit to see if anyone else has seen him recently. And then it slowly dawns on you that something is not right. You start to look more earnestly, start to call out their name a little bit louder and louder. In your mind, all the worst-case scenarios are starting to run faster and faster and faster. Was he kidnapped? Is he hurt somewhere? Did a bear attack him? It's a terrifying feeling unlike any other. And it's bad enough when it happens to any child, but imagine how Joseph and Mary felt. This isn't just any child. This is the promised Messiah. They were entrusted to look after and protect God in human flesh, and now they're not even sure where he is. Can you imagine the terror and the heartache that they felt as they looked at one another and realized, oh no, we forgot Jesus. Now thankfully, they found him. But imagine the horror that they must have felt, frantically searching through the huge city of Jerusalem, wondering if they would ever see their little boy again, feeling like they had let down the entire world. But then they go to the temple, and there's Jesus, asking questions, giving answers, amazing all the people who are listening with his wisdom and his insight. Mary and Joseph didn't realize when they left the temple, they had left Jesus right there. Just like we do far too often. Except the difference is when we do it, we don't feel that great distress and panic, do we? We don't frantically look everywhere and drop everything and do everything in our power to get Jesus back with us. In fact, we rarely even think to ourselves, oh no, we forgot Jesus. In the hubbub of everyday life, too often, we too leave Jesus behind at the church. We come here on Sunday morning, we put in our time because we're Christians. We believe in Jesus, and so this is what we're supposed to do, right? If we didn't come to church at least every now and then, well, we might start to feel guilty, and, well, people would probably start to talk. It's become kind of a tradition for us, even if we don't necessarily hear the words anymore or don't really think that it benefits us all that much. And as we leave the church, we start to think about our real lives. We wonder how we're going to solve that problem that we have at work. We start thinking about our bank balance. We focus on the problems we're having with our family and wonder what we can do to fix it. And as we walk out focused on these things, we too leave Jesus behind at the church without even realizing it. He doesn't seem to be relevant to our everyday lives. We're so concerned with everything else that we don't even notice we've left him behind. And when we notice, well, we might think to go back and see him again, but so often we just do the exact same thing and leave him behind. Because, hey, Jesus is for church, right? That's where he belongs, and so that's where he stays in our lives. We'll take 1 hour, hopefully less if the pastor can keep it short, to hear about God. But the other 167 hours of the week, those belong to us. And we like to keep them Jesus-free. It's a shame that our sinful nature leads us to think that this is a good way to live our lives. It's a shame to see so many people who are ostensibly Christian, but live lives filled with sin and debauchery, and live lives where Christ is not proclaimed, but hidden, and sometimes even absent. It's a shame how easily each and every one of us falls into this trap, forgetting about Jesus as soon as we leave the church. Because when we do this, we miss out on so much in our lives. I mean, think about the blessings that Jesus brings to us, as he is the center of not just our Sunday mornings, but every day of our lives. Jesus is so much more than the Savior that we go to once a week to dump our load of sin off and say, yeah, I'll have another load for you next week. Here in this building, we enjoy a special presence of the Lord. Here we hear his word spoken directly to us. Here we receive the forgiveness of all of our sins. Here he comes to us in his very body and blood, given and shed for us the forgiveness of all of our sins. But this is not the only place that our Lord comes to us, and we need not try to leave him here. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior who loves and blesses us continually, no matter where we might be. When we're on that icy road wondering how we're going to make it home, Jesus is there, guiding and protecting us. When we're in the pits of sorrow at the loss of a loved one or at the prospect of a dark future, he's there with us, comforting us by his word, giving us peace that this world cannot offer. When we're challenged to continue on through the struggles of this sinful life, Jesus is there to give us strength, love, and encouragement. And even when we are just doing our everyday routine, things that nobody really cares about, feeding the cat, doing the laundry, clipping our toenails, paying the bills, whatever it is that we are doing, Jesus is there with us, personally, individually, giving us his full, undivided love and attention and forgiveness. You know, so often when we think about God being the ruler of the world, we get lost in the grand scope of that thought, thinking that God watches over everything on the macro scale, keeping an eye on things from afar, making sure things run smoothly kind of in the big picture things. But that's more. There's more to it than that. His love and his attention, it is given to each and every one of us, personally, individually. He is all-knowing and all-present. He is not limited by time or space like we are. You know, as a father with 5 children, there are days when I come home and they all want to talk to me at once. They all want to tell me what's going on in their lives. They all want to show me what they've done or what they heard. And I finally have to kind of say, stop, and tune out 4 of them while listening to just one, and then turn my attention to the next and to the next, making them all wait in line for their turn with Daddy. But it's not so with God. He is not limited like we are. God is able to listen to our most basic plea for help as if we were the only person in the world. He is able to give each and every one of us the individual attention that we crave and desire and need so much. In fact, he's more than able to do it. He loves to do it. This is what our epistle reading is talking about today, as Paul talks about how we've been chosen and predestined. God chose to save everyone, and he chooses to give that personal attention to all those who call on his name. Paul talks about the grace and love and forgiveness that God lavishes upon us, that we are adopted as his children, that he reveals to us the deep mystery of his holy and perfect will. God's not just sitting far off watching over the world. He is with you, personally, lovingly, in a very real way, every minute of every day, not just when you come into his presence in church, but always. And when we keep him in our lives, when we remember and acknowledge his holy presence with us every day, we are filled with so many blessings. As we go throughout the week guided by his word, we are blessed and we are rescued from so many pitfalls that this sinful, wretched world lays out before us. As we live out our lives knowing that we are forgiven of our sin, our lives are changed for the better. Not because we can just sin whenever we want and know that God won't condemn us for it, but because when we realize what God has done, we no longer want to sin. We're no longer enslaved to our sinful nature. We don't live in terror of sin anymore, but neither do we put ourselves back beneath its wicked captivity. He has given us his life to set us free from our sin. He died and rose again so that we could be with him forever. He has given everything to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil. He will not leave us or forget about us, even when we forget about him. Now, we're not guaranteed a life free from pain and suffering because we are still sinners and we are still living in a sinful world. But when that pain and suffering and trial and torment come upon us, we have the comfort, the assurance, the peace to know that Jesus Christ is with us always, leading us, protecting us, forgiving us, loving us individually with his full attention and love. And whatever might happen to us, when he is with us, we know what is in store for us. As Paul writes, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. The inheritance of heaven. The inheritance of eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a joy to gather together each week in the name of the Lord, to be refreshed and renewed by his word, his presence, his sacraments. And what a joy it is for us to have Jesus Christ with us, not just here in the church, but all throughout our lives. when we leave him behind, when we go about our lives and forget Jesus at the church, we suffer needlessly under our loads of worries and sin. But oh, what peace and comfort we have when Jesus is with us. We need not go far to speak to our Lord, because he is near us at all times, giving us that which this world cannot. He is our Lord and Savior, the one who was born for us, who died for us, who lives again with us. He is with us always, personally, constantly, no matter where we might be. Here in his holy house, we receive his bountiful blessings of word and sacrament, but they don't end when we walk out that door. Every minute of every day, Jesus Christ is with you. And what a blessing it is to realize that glorious truth. God is with you during good times and bad. His mercy and his love are right there all throughout the entire week. Even when we forget Jesus at the church, even when we try to push him out of our everyday life, he is there with us, guiding us, guarding us, protecting us, and reminding us of our salvation. He has suffered and died for you, and he has risen again from the grave to give you the guarantee of life everlasting. And he is with you always. By his cross and by his empty tomb, you are forgiven of all of your sin, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen. And now that peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.